This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wang Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. The hospitality business has been booming in Southeast Asia with an estimated 370 million visitor arrivals in this region for 2018, according to the World Travel and Tourism Council. This has been on the back of low-cost travel, rising incomes, and a whole new wanderlust generation. So today we have with us Ooi Joon Ahn, President and Managing Director for Southeast Asia and Pacific Rim, Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, to give us some flavour of what travel trends to expect, how to make Malaysia a destination of choice, whilst telling us about this international hotel chain. Good morning, Joon Ahn. Now, my first question is, why is it that Wyndham is the largest hotel chain in the world with over 9,000 hotels and over 800,000 rooms, but yet the brand is so unknown in this neck of the woods?
Well, as a company, we have a very clear, laser-focused strategy to grow our portfolio, accelerate the growth that we have been experiencing, and then focusing on which markets we have had success and continue to leverage the success for further growth. And at the same time, look at specific areas where there are new opportunities to introduce new brands into the market. Our portfolio consists of 21 well-established brands, and of the 21, 9 are currently at play in the Southeast Asia and Pacific Rim.
But then, you know, all of us have heard of brands like Starwood, Marriott, Hilton, and even Hyatt. But why is it not Wyndham? So how are you positioning the brand here in the Asia-Pacific region? What's going to be the unique selling proposition for the group?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very fair question and statement, Xiaoning, actually. Well, one of the recent initiatives is to look at how we can tap into the established recognition of the Wyndham name, right? So we have put together a sort of revised the way our brands are called. So Ramada used to be just Ramada, and now it's called Ramada by Wyndham, right? So there's Wingate by Wyndham, Trip by Wyndham, Super 8 by Wyndham, Howard Johnson by Wyndham. So it's to tie back the individual brands to what the consumers and the markets are relatively more familiar with. And yes, we do have some work to be done to further elevate our brand presence in this region. And to that end, I would say we've had great success in terms of how we have been able to expand our presence in this region. Yeah. As of today, we have about 150 hotels across the different countries like Korea, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Indonesia, the Southeast Asian countries. And we are the largest international franchising company in China with more than 1,500 hotels. So in line with our strategy, yeah, one of the key efforts is to elevate the brand visibility and recognition in the market.
So how are you planning to do that? Is it a series of advertisements, more social media engagement?
To the customers, yes, you're absolutely right. Looking at digital and how we position ourselves in the digital world, in being active in social media as well. And I think one thing that's going to be very helpful is to be able to continue to put our brands on key assets, key properties around the key cities around the region.
Is that why you want 21 sub-brands to basically grow that customer loyalty, to give options to customers? The flip side of that is that, does the customer then get confused?
Focus is on tying the brands together with the tagline by Wyndham. That's going to be helpful in terms of the elevating the brand recognition. The question about why 21 brands? Our mission as a company for Wyndham Hotels and Resorts is to make hotel travel possible for all. So what that means is there are different levels of segment from what we traditionally call in the industry, the sort of the budget, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. Now it's no longer a single-dimensional spectrum. It's pretty much like two-dimensional spectrum. So there's the traditional from sort of low-end to high end, the number of stars, and then on the horizontal side is the conventional and non-conventional types of brands. So we just got to make sure that we have a brand for each occasion.
So do you think you have any gaps in the 21 brands, which means are you looking for any M&A opportunities in the region? I mean, your group did acquire La Quinta last year in US, but yet there are some very unique brands local to Asia, which perhaps give that luxury feel, you know, the likes of Shangri-La, Anantara Group, Mandarin Oriental. Any chance you're looking to add to these names to your portfolio of brands? I mean, even recently Hyatt acquired Indonesian brand Alila.
I think the short answer I can give, Shaoning, without giving away too much, is yes, we are and we have been continuously on the lookout for acquisition or strategic partnership opportunities to complement what we can offer and what we have been offering in this market.
I noticed so much effort and money is being spent by the hotel groups on growing their loyalty programs. And I say even among my friends and myself, you know, that does influence the choice I make when I go on vacation. So I looked at the Wyndham loyalty program. Do you think the issue is the lack of choice? Not in the terms of number of hotels, but the range. Or like you say, that experience. So if I book, for example, Starwood, and I want to have a funky hotel experience, I almost close my eyes and say, okay, I'll choose the W. But I struggle a little bit with the Wyndham group. I cannot figure out what is the equivalent.
I would say we have hotels ranging from The what we call the left side of the spectrum to the right side. And on the right side, we have brands such as Wyndham or Wyndham Grand and Dolce, right? So we do have hotels that span across the different parts of the spectrum. But in terms of what a loyalty program can offer and should be offering, I mean, we are proud to say that the Wyndham Rewards program has recently been recognized as number 2 by the US News and World Report, right? And we have more than 80 million members worldwide, and these members can have access to choices, to up to 30,000 choices of hotels and vacation clubs, right? Now, which other group can offer that sort of magnitude of options to choose from?
So who is number one? Is it the Marriott Bonvoy? I gather they have up to 150 million members on their loyalty program, right? Of which 50% of their sales are from these loyalty customers. What's your ratio?
Our ratio is, I would say, quite impressive as well. And we continue to look at opportunities on how we can continue to elevate the value proposition of the loyalty program in terms of more choices that we can offer to our customers, to our loyal members, and changes to the program as necessary. And yes, that's a good question, but I would like to say that from my perspective, I think Wyndham Rewards is number one in my heart.
Well, being the president and managing director of Southeast Asia, you would say that, right?
I can't say anything else.
Yes. Right? You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Ooi Joon Ahn, president and managing director for Southeast Asia and Pacific Rim Wyndham Hotels and Resorts. When we come back, we will try to uncover why Malaysia continues to lose in the regional travel stakes, whilst taking a deeper dive at the many challenges facing the hospitality industry. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill, where I am speaking to Ooi Joon Ahn, Managing Director for Southeast Asia and Pacific Rim Wyndham Hotels and Resorts. Earlier, we were talking about Wyndham's plans for growth in this region despite the intense competition. So let's now talk a little bit about the Wyndham business model. You practice this asset-light model, which means you don't own any hotel properties. So the hotels under your brand are franchises or hotel management agreements. But how do you attract the attention of property owners to sign up with you on a franchise agreement or even on a hotel management agreement? Because in this region, the likes of the Marriott Group, the Hilton, they're all here. They're, so what do you offer which is different from what they offer? Is it because you have lower royalty fees? What would you say your differentiator is?
Well, I would say, first of all, we have been very successful in this region, despite adopting a very asset-light strategy. How we are getting some owners, more owners to come and talk to us and select us, I guess there's a lot of factors that come into play in that selection process, whether it's from referrals from current owners who are very happy with the how with their experience, their relationship with Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, with one of the 21 brands, and they make referrals to their friends that, hey, you're growing in this country, I would highly recommend you talk to so-and-so from Wyndham. And that's happened quite a lot over the past few years, right? And also, we're continuously looking at what matters to owners, you know, what are important parameters for them in their consideration for selection of a brand. And it's very important that we develop a value proposition that matches those shifting expectations from the owners. And I would say that's something that our development team has done pretty well over the years in terms of being able to secure the growth that we have been seeing in this region.
So your growth is not a function of you just having lower royalty fees or marketing fees then, or having lower standards in terms of the hotel?
Well, I would say if we adopt that strategy, it's not a sustainable one, because, you know, it's easy for the other side, the other competitors, to just drop their rates as well. And then it's like a price war. And we know that in a lot of situations, a price war benefits not the players in the industry. But I think what's most important is how we are able to engage the owners and establish that trust with them to make sure that they understand and they value the focus that we have in terms of how we're going to work with them to make their asset, their investment successful.
Because you focus more on franchises versus hotel management agreements, how do you ensure that standards are maintained, that the Wyndham brand quality is there? Because for franchises, you don't have full control of the hotel, right? How do you get the owners to buy into the brand, what it represents, the standards expected? How do you keep up with all the required maintenance?
Yeah. Multi-pronged approach to this, I think, starts with the engagement with the owners, right? To make sure that we are engaging the right owner that believes in protecting the interests of the brands that they are investing into. So having that alignment is important to make sure that the integrity of the brand proposition will be preserved. And then along the way, when the hotel is being built and when the pre-opening team is in place, we have a ton of standards to share with the owners and the hotel teams to make sure that what they put in place to get the hotel ready for opening is highly aligned with the brand standards and expectations. I would say the last step is the necessary requirement to have a quality audit at the hotels. Well, to make sure the compliance levels are there and that the hotels continue to represent what the brand stands for.
And let's talk about challenges, because I think we all recognize that there's a general slowdown in the region, right, because of the trade war. So what kind of growth are you expecting in this region? Because at the end of the day, leisure and business travelers can just tighten their belts and opt not to travel, because very often it's discretionary, isn't it?
True. But I would say that this industry, if anything, has proven itself that it's been very robust to shocks to the industry overall, right, over the couple of years. So I do not have any concerns about the well-being of the industry in the medium term. In fact, if anything, I would say that there's a lot of significant opportunity and I would say headroom for further growth in this market, and especially in Malaysia.
But is that at the expense of your revenue per available room? Because I did see from your second quarter results, Wyndham Group results, that declined by 14% year on year for the Asia Pacific, right? From US $40 to almost US $34. Is this the beginning of a downward trend? So yes, your occupancy is still up, but you've had to lower rates?
I would say that decline is, rather than speaks specifically to the cause of the RevPAR decline, it's a lot contributed by it's a positive problem. What I mean by that is it's contributed by the number of new hotels that we're opening in the region. And as you know, new hotels, when they open, they're establishing their rates in the market and giving promotions and whatnot. So all this will dilute the RevPAR of the region for sure, of the region's performance. Yeah.
And it's not also just from the competitors lowering their prices?
That is a given, but not in every market, right? We are seeing some markets where the RevPAR is maintained strong, and there's some areas where it's growing. So yes, depending on which market you're looking at, there are different areas, different behaviors that we see. But I think competitor influence on rates is going to continue to be there no matter what. Whether you're trying to hold a strong rate or you have to drop your rates to match the market situation, the softness that's coming into the market for those few months. I mean, this is how we have to be adapt to the shifting patterns of the environment around us. Yeah.
And what about geopolitical tensions? I ask this question because Chinese tourists are probably one of your bigger markets. And I think we cannot dispute that they're going to participate more in global travel. But at the same time, they also control the movement of their citizens. So the Chinese government banned group tours to South Korea as part of its economic retaliation for the THAAD deployment in 2017. So overnight, right, Chinese group tourists in visiting South Korea nosedive. And this must have impacted you, right?
I think this, I mean, situations, whether it's as how you have described it or whether it's any other natural sort of disasters happening around the region. For us, we just have to continuously be on our toes, right? And yes, there are sometimes shocks like this that everybody focuses on, but I would rather focus everybody, the wider audience, on how opportunities, the abundance of the opportunities and the growth in the region overall.
Where do you see these opportunities? Which markets are you most excited?
So specifically, where we are seeing a lot of growth is, in Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. So Korea, for example, I mentioned we have more than 40 hotels present today, and we continue to be growing there. And these are all relatively large boxes. What I mean by large boxes is a high room count, right? Thailand, we have about 10 hotels today, and we expect to double our presence over the next 2 or 3 years. Vietnam, we only have 2 hotels in operation today, but we have an established, robust, signed pipeline of about 10,000 rooms or 15 hotels in that country. And, the 2 hotels we have today are Wyndham and Wyndham Garden, and we have signed deals that will be introducing Ramada Brand, Dolce, Wyndham Grand, Ramada Encore, and at some point some of the other brands like Trip by Wyndham or Howard Johnson by Wyndham. Yeah, and I mentioned Malaysia as well. Again, I'm very passionate about the growth opportunity in Malaysia. Yeah.
And how do you view online booking platforms like the likes of Agoda, Expedia, Hotels.com? Are they complementary to your business or do you see them as disruptors?
Depending on which situation, at some times of the day or of the year, they can be disruptors and other times, aiders, that helps the hotels that we operate. So it's a complementary sort of partnership in some ways. And yes, there are times when you would describe them as disruptors, right? But in regardless of how we coined them, they have been instrumental in fueling the demand for hotel rooms.
And I'm sure you get asked about Airbnb, particularly because your segment is the mid-scale and value one, which is roughly the same segment, right? So how do you fight, especially with millennials who love to book it, I notice?
The only thing I can say is that we have to make sure that we continue to preserve and elevate our value proposition to our customers, right? Continue to be relevant, continue to understand what they're looking for, how they're searching for their products, their experience, how they're going to buy, their buying behavior, their buying needs, and got to make sure that we continue to match up to their expectations or exceed their expectations. And that's the one sure way of keeping yourself relevant to the customers that you're trying to target.
And now let's bring this back to Malaysia, because Malaysia always faces the question as to why our tourism numbers are below expectation. Why is it as a percentage of GDP, it is so low? So, you know, as a hotelier, tell us what we can do to improve.
Malaysia has a lot to offer, right? We are living in a multicultural, multi-ethnicity heritage, and with lots of great food and interesting places to visit, cultural events and such. And, you know, the Visit Malaysia 2020 is generating more visibility and awareness of Malaysia. And that's something that we need to continue to be doing. And then, you know, people like myself as a Malaysian, I just got to continue to make sure that I'm the ambassador for Malaysia whenever I'm speaking to friends or new friends or at industry conferences and whatnot. Yeah.
So why are Malaysian hotel room rates, especially in the luxury 5-star segment, the lowest in the region? We don't seem to attract the high spending quality tourists to this country, despite all the wonderful things we have. Like you say, we do have beautiful beaches, fantastic jungles, the best food, I say, in the region. But yet we just don't seem to have these numbers.
Yeah, I think when I have the absolute spot on answer, I will let you know. But that's something that I would say trying to figure out. I think the industry is trying to figure out as a whole why this phenomenon is continuing to happen in Malaysia. Yeah,
because currently you also only just have 4 hotels in this country. Is it a sign of lack of confidence, or is there no market for Malaysian hotels?
Absolutely not a reflection of low confidence. If anything, it's the reverse. Yes, we only have 4 today, but we have a pipeline of about 10 hotels that's coming up. And we, you know, to display our confidence in this market, I mean, the 4 hotels you mentioned are basically Ramadas and Days by Wyndham, right? But we are bringing in new brands into the market.
Thank you for your time today, Junan, to tell us about Wyndham's plans. I'm Wong Xiaoling for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.